Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Myself Chakras, episode 255.
Let your prosperity reflect the good you contribute to the world.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, the show where we provide you with the knowledge and action steps that will help you transform your life. So if you're new to our show, then I want to give you a warm welcome. And especially if you're a regular listener of the show, you would know that we have a special Facebook support group for listeners of our show around the globe. Because let's face it, a change in your life can be challenging, especially if you don't have supportive people around you. Our free Facebook group is specially created by me for members of Action Tribe. So when you join, you'll find a community that will hold space for you, allow you to express your voice, share, collaborate, and grow, and really step into your new life. So no matter what your goals are, our group will hold you accountable, will provide you feedback, and cheer you till the finish line. So if you consider yourself one of us and you want to join thousands of other people just like yourself, then visit my7chakras.com/tribe. That's my7chakras.com/tribe. So see you on the inside. And with that, let's bring you our special guest for today, Mariflor Toniato. So Mariflor, are you ready to inspire?
Oh, I am so grateful to be here with you, AJ. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. So Mariflor is the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles. As the CEO and founder of Power with Soul, she specializes in helping ambitious women entrepreneurs, professionals, and leaders to reach financial prosperity and success while fulfilling their social promise in the world. Her work has been featured internationally in media outlets like Yahoo Finance, Washington Post, International Business Times, Los Angeles Times, and many more. So with that, thank you so much for joining me today, Mariflor. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So we begin our show and each and every episode with an inspirational quote. So what quote do you have for us today, and how do you apply it in your life?
Well, the quote that I have is taken from my book, and the quote is, "Let your prosperity reflect the good you contribute to the world." And the reason why I chose that quote is because really the theme of the book and the theme of my life is the more money I earn, the more that I can help others make a positive ripple effect in the world, a positive impact, and also help to fulfill my soul's purpose.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And in fact, Action Tribe, money is an enabler. There's no use of the notes that you receive or the coins that you receive. It allows you to do something. And if you are in the right mindset, if you have the right goals and vision, then you would use it for change, for empowering people, for changing the world around you. And so that's why today's episode is so important. It's not only, you know, how to attract the wealth, but it's also about making a change in the world around you for the better. So with that, let's begin. Miraflor, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, there's actually, there's many things, but there's three things, in fact, AJ. Is the first is, as much as women have been making great strides in the world, we're still an untapped power in that there's still a wage gap, there's still fewer influential roles, for instance, for women in bigger corporations or in politics. And so this was something for me to want to help change the current state of affairs for women. Mm-hmm. Because when women are empowered with money, they become difference makers. And I say that because they not only transform their lives, but they transform the lives of others, their families and their communities at large. And research shows that women reinvest 90 cents of every dollar that they make back to family, health, education, and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so we hear a lot of these statements that when women succeed, we all succeed. And I've actually seen that to be true, not only in my life, but also in the lives of my clients and colleagues and so forth. And so this was a way for me to really help women to claim their wealth and be a difference maker.
Got it. So love the fact that your book is aimed at changing the current state of affairs, which is a huge task, right? But it's a step in the right direction, and hopefully through this episode and through the show, we're able to influence a change in people's minds, people who are listening to the show right now. Now, Miraflor, what are some reasons or some factors that prevent us from acquiring wealth in our lives?
Well, first of all, I want to just say, even though the book is written for women mostly, in terms of, you know, the orientation of it, I do say in the book, AJ, that men can also find value in reading it too. So all your listeners, both women and men, can really gain a lot of benefit from applying the steps. Mm. But in terms of the what can get in the way from us having abundance in our lives is really, it can start from a place of mindset, you know, because what ultimately what you become what you believe. Mm-hmm. And so there's very much from a mindset point of view, from an emotional point of view, because money is I say in the book, is emotional currency. Mm-hmm. Because it is. We've seen so many people either move forward using money, or it somehow held them back because maybe their behaviors have led them to create debt or what have you.
Right.
But so there's the mindset level, and then there's the emotional level, and then there's also the energy that produces. Mm. In terms of the fact that I talk about money, a timeless truth of money is energy. It is a form of energy. We receive money in exchange for doing something or using our talents and skills, etc. And so, you know, I tend to call mindset the prelude to action, because how we are in our mindset really impacts on the decisions and the actions that we make. And so the more fertile and abundant our mindset is towards money and being of service and making a contribution, the more that our energy and the energy that the snowball ripple effect will come to us, as opposed to using money for a different force.
Got it. So I love your explanation. And in fact, many of our listeners are familiar with the energetic body. The fact that we just not have the physical body, but we have an emotional body around us, a mental body, as well as an energetic body. And as you described, you know, the fact that our relationship with money is not just limited to our physical body, but if there's a block or if there's some sort of instability in any of these bodies, it can affect our ability to attract abundance into our lives, right? So I love your explanation. And you also mentioned in your book that a lot of it has to do with our family history and upbringing, because that can also determine the type of relationship that we have with money, correct?
Oh, exactly. It really is. I mean, the more I was working with so many people from all walks of life, the more I really began to see that even though if we're moving on in our lives, we may not even be conscious of it, AJ, that we even have these kind of emotions about or beliefs about money anymore. Because, you know, as we're moving forward in our lives, you sometimes forget about that, except when situations actually happen and when people start to talk about money and start to kind of question, you know, where did this belief come from, right? And so I've had many people tell me, you know, money for us was very abundant, or money for us was not abundant at all growing up. You know, my parents would say, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, or you can only really, money can only really come to you for working so, so hard. And so people become motivated by these beliefs, even if they're no longer serving them. Mm-hmm. And so I had this story that someone had shared with me about how money was in her family and how money then affected her life growing up until she chose to change it.
Yeah.
So the story is, she said that when she was growing up, she's the youngest and only girl, two older brothers, and every week their father would give them allowance.
Okay.
And she noticed that her allowance was always less than her brother's.
Mm.
And she asked about it. And she said, "Why is my allowance less than my brother's?" And her father said, "Don't worry, honey. Your brothers need to make more money because they will support family. And you will get married one day, and then your husband can support you." Mm-hmm. And it was such an interesting story for her, because that really impacted how she saw the world. Mm-hmm. And it held her back from really kind of claiming her own wealth and doing things on her own and making her own way in the world. But then she realized, she thought, hang on, that might have been a story from before, but I no longer believe that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to choose something different. And that's just a little example, AJ, of how, you know, money stories and money way of being and beliefs in someone's past and childhood could really still be at working in the background for them.
Got it. So we're talking about the stories, the narratives, and the beliefs that you hold deep within about money, which could largely be due to some incident, something that happened in your childhood, which you have forgotten, but the connection is still there, that blockage is still there. So, Miraflor, how does somebody go about identifying or finding out what sort of relationship they have with money? Is there some approach that you suggest?
Yes. So that's a good question. Well, in the book, I really talk about the fact of understanding your financial starting point.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, anytime we have a goal, we usually want to find out, okay, to get to that goal, I need to first assess, where am I right now? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with assessing your financial starting point, because at that point, if let's say you have some sort of a financial goal, or you just want to build more abundance in your life and attract more abundance in your life, you first have to start off, well, what is my belief about money? What is my relationship with money? How does money function in my life? Mm-hmm. Is it a situation where I have feast or famine? I've had people say to me, oh, I have a love-hate relationship with money. I deal with it because I have to in every day, but I really don't like it. Or does somebody say, I have no problems at all with money. I just believe that it's always going to come to me for as I need to do my life's purpose. And so that's always so interesting. There's a set of questions in the book, AJ, that I help somebody go through, because I call it taking stock of your relationship with money. Because once you identify what that is, then you begin to look at, well, that's interesting. What are the patterns of my behavior, number one? And what do those patterns lead to in terms of outcome, number two? Because, you know, and for you to get the result that you've gotten, that had to first start out with some sort of thought in order to execute it, right?
Yes.
And so it's really interesting and so important to understand where you are in your relationship with money, and then identify specifically what that belief or that emotional feeling that you may have around money, that you can then say that now I have an awareness to this, I can actually do something about it. Is because, you know, we first have to have the clarity of the awareness before we act on it, right?
Absolutely.
And so that is another thing to look at. And then the whole journey, really, of feeling more empowered with money and your relationship with money is a journey of an inner journey, in that you have to go inward to find the answers from within. Because, yes, you do have outcomes and results that you can see in your external reality. And yet what's driving that is this body, mind, and soul aspect.
Now, for a moment, you spoke about the fact that we need to take a pause for a moment and build our awareness about where we are at in terms of money. And you also spoke about patterns. Now, let's talk about patterns a bit. You write about the money habits and actions, right? You've written about this topic, the fact that there are some bad habits. Are there any bad habits that act as blocks to money abundance? And on the other hand, what are some good money habits that we should consider adopting?
Well, first of all, yes. So in one of the principles in the book that I talk about, is that it's so important for us to improve our money habits and actions. And it could actually really just one, you know, in the area of talking about shifting limiting beliefs and assumptions about money. We talk about that. We other aspects is that you want to also be in alignment with your actions with money in terms of integrity with yourself and integrity with your actions. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that you want to be in harmony with and in alignment with how you are with yourself and your purpose and what you do with that, with your money. And so what you want to do is, if you find yourself, let's say, creating a little bit of money chaos in your life, you have a lot of unpaid bills, you owe people money, and you've forgotten about it. Those are some areas where you're having integrity with yourself that you want to start to actually address. And the reason why you want to do that is because you want to be a person that the universe can trust to handle more money.
Sure.
Right? So this means paying your bills on time, using money for your highest good, spending and handling money with care, earning money in an ethical way. So that's having that level of integrity. And then there's this other exercise that I talk about in the book, which, you know, may sound a bit funny, but I think others have found it interesting as well, is what if money was your best friend? Mm-hmm. How would you actually treat money? Would you actually, you know, be more careful with it? Would you be more considerate of it. I mean, even the way people handle money, I laugh sometimes because I'll say to people, "Oh, show me your wallet. You know, how do you actually carry money?" And there was this, I was doing a workshop once, and everybody was pulling out their wallets, and there was this woman literally had her cash stashed in. She didn't even have a wallet, really, because it was like all over in her purse, right? Yeah. Oh, I've got coins here, I've got coins there. And then it came with wrappings of gum and stuff. And I said, you know, that's a really interesting thing of how you treat money, which comes to you in the form of money, the currency that we exchange here. But it's also really the energy of which the universe does this, the flow with you, right? The accepting and receiving. And so that was like a really eye-opening thing for her, because she'd never really thought that was important.
Right.
And at the same time, and I asked her, do you have money chaos in your life? And it turns out, yeah, she did. And I wasn't surprised by that, because it was like she had forgotten that she could do so much more with money, and she could actually make money work for her as a tool, rather than money being something that she really had some kind of an inner conflict with.
Got it. And the funny thing is, you know, something as simple as this is not taught in schools, right? Because how awesome it would be if teachers, so if you're a teacher right now listening to this episode, no matter where you are, you can also consider using this episode as a pretext of talking, you know, about the children in your class, about how to respect money, how to treat money as your friend, and how to, send it and receive it in a way that is respectful. So I'm sure that this would really change the energetic relationship that they have and they will have with money in the future. Now, Miraflor, let's talk about... please go ahead.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, AJ, you're brilliant. Thank you for saying that, because I've been having conversations with interviewers and friends and colleagues, and we've been talking about the fact that we are not taught this in school.
Yeah.
There, you know, even you could take, I think in high school, there's like some courses in accounting, but it's always around budgeting and handling money.
Yeah. And it's kind of boring also. They don't talk about the stuff that you're talking about, right? Like make visualization, make money your friend, respect it as the energy, almost like anthropomorph. I don't know. It's a long word. It's something anthro, you know, the idea is that, you know, if you look at brands as well, they look at the brand and then you make the brand very human. And it's easier to relate to the brand. And in this sense, it's easier to relate to money if you imagine it as a human being, as opposed to, you know, some esoteric concept like blockchain or, you know, some technology.
No, but you're absolutely right. We don't talk about this. And in the book, I actually say, very beginning, and I say, you might be thinking, why am I going to have a relationship with money? Because money is not even real. It's an inanimate object, right? Mm-hmm. And then I say that you can consider having a relationship with money, because you have a relationship with anything that you think about often, that preoccupies your mind, that you have to do something with, and that you are in exchange with and for. It becomes an actual energetic force, you know? And so I think that if we're not having these conversations often enough, and if you notice too, AJ, the conversations about money is still very much a taboo subject.
Yes.
We will talk about our deepest fears and our deepest emotions and sex lives and all of these things. But if you start asking people how much they made in a social situation, like, chances are they're not going to invite you back, you know, because people still think it's just too personal, you know, because of the fact that money is emotional currency and is tied to our sense of self-worth.
Correct. And also, I think that they're not to be blamed in this case, because there are some people who have misused money, right, over the years.
Yeah.
As soon as they start making money, they're taking photos of them in front of Lamborghinis and, cars, which really mean nothing. They're probably renting the cars as well. And, photos in front of aeroplanes. And so there are some people who have an emotional reaction to the misuse of money. Now, this can be, of course, interpreted in so many ways. But the truth is that we need more people who are conscious entrepreneurs who show what good they've done in society with the help of the money, like starting schools or maybe, funding young entrepreneurs and things like that. I think we need more of that.
Yeah. Like yes, actually. Thank you so much. And I work with entrepreneurs who really want to do that. And I call them difference makers. And I've created an actual program that is called Millionaire Difference Makers. And the whole notion of it is the more you make, the more impact and ripple effect of good you can make in the world. And you're not only going to change lives, but the biggest life you're going to change is actually yourself. Because you're going to really fulfill your highest potential, and you're going to be able to use your life, your life with purpose, and the meaning and the fulfillment that comes back to you is, I can't even describe it, because you know what I'm talking about, AJ, because when you do something good and it there's sincerity in that, and it creates so much good and change that's positive. It's just something that is just so fulfilling on a soul level that money cannot buy. And yet, as Mother Teresa once said, it takes a checkbook to change the world.
Right.
So we do have to be able to associate and use money in the highest possible way as the tool that it was meant to be used for, as opposed to being defined by it.
Right, right. And the way I like to think about it is, we are in this 3D space right now, this 3D plane. And of course, money is super important over here. And there are a series of higher beings, who want to carry out some work on this earth, right?
Yes.
And of course, they cannot do it by themselves, so they do it through certain humans. And like you said earlier, the only way that they can trust that human being is through the person's actions. And once the person can be trusted, then the person gets resources only because the person has expressed some level of purpose or something that they want to achieve in their lifetime. And so in that case, the money becomes an enabler rather than just being stashed or hoarded in some faraway bank account. Now, on that very topic, you've quite mystically written in your book about some universal laws and spiritual laws that govern financial prosperity. So can you give us a few examples of that?
Yes. So I talk about universal and spiritual laws, because I think that a lot of your listeners would be very, and most people have heard of the law of attraction, for example, like attracts like, and people hearing about The Secret. But I isolated actually 12 universal and spiritual laws that can help govern creating more prosperity and abundance in your life. And most people don't really talk about that, but the ones that I'm going to use an example is, there's the law of clarity, for instance. And the law of clarity is that when you are so clear on exactly what you desire, and it is in alignment with your highest purpose and your best self and the purpose and mission that you're here on earth to do, that clarity leads to so much intention and decision, right? And then you take action from that. And then the universe, if it's for your highest good and for the highest good of all, the universe will get behind you. And I mean that in terms of, all of a sudden, the resources will show up. People who are people who can help you, or mentors or teachers or references and resources will start to show up so that you can fulfill what you're supposed to do. And so that kind of clarity is be crystal clear on exactly what it is that you desire and what it is that you, in terms of abundance, and what you desire the ultimate goal of that to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the laws. Another one is the law of giving and receiving. And so there's many ways for us to give. We can give of our time, we can share our talents, and we can use the spiritual practice of tithing, using 10% of our income and earnings to help others, for instance, you know, to give to causes. And what happens when you give, and you give from a place of generosity and of love and with the highest intention, what happens there is you actually create a vacuum, mm-hmm. of that same abundance and even more coming back to you. Mm. So you actually do that, and you create that space. And it doesn't mean that you will receive it at the same time that you give something out. And it doesn't mean that you may even get it back from the same person that you gave it to. But the universe is so brilliant in the ways in which you will receive it at the time that you will need it to further your purpose and mission. And so, in essence, when we're giving, we're also receiving, because in that flow of the full circle of abundance, we will at some point receive something like that or even better.
Wonderful. Now, you speak about the importance of intentional action, right? That you can't state something and then do nothing towards it to make it a reality. But you also have to know when to surrender, right? That's what you say, and let the universe work its magic behind the scenes. Now, yeah. How does a person go about identifying when it's time to surrender? Because I'm sure that this could be very difficult to discern, especially for listeners of our show who are committed to taking action and changing their life.
Yes. Yes. I love that question. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So surrendering is, it's, I love the word that you use, AJ, discernment, because mm-hmm. It is, you have to balance it and you have to know. So for instance, let's say that you have been visualizing, you have been doing all of the manifestation of this desire, this long-held desire that you have. And the moment to surrender is when you have done everything that you can, like you have upheld your side of the bargain to make this happen.
Right.
And you then have to now surrender it to the universe, because the universe, in its behind the scenes, that the magic really happens is sometimes when we actually just stop over controlling something, mm-hmm. right? Because when we, for instance, let's say you are waiting for this, you know, this is an everyday occurrence. You're waiting for a really important phone call or an important email, and you're checking your email and your phone. Oh, nobody's getting back to me, and you're getting all upset about it, right? And then that happens to me. And usually what I'll do is I'll just say, okay, I've done all the following up. I've done what I've had to do. Universe, it's your turn. I surrender it to you. You know best how this needs to happen. And I'll go off and I'll do something else. And I've forgotten about it because I've already entrusted the universe with this really important wish that I have. And then usually what happens is it'll just all of a sudden appear in your inbox, or you'll get the phone call, right? Because the energy, sometimes when we just hold on to something so tight, there's no flow within that energy because we're too anxious. And then it just doesn't, you know, come to pass, right? And then usually what you hear are people just complaining about, oh, this never works, or what have you. What I would say to people is there is so much, I mean, manifesting, you can actually manifest and accelerate your ability to manifest when you are patient, and at the same time, patient with the fact that you've already done everything you can, and you're at peace with that, and you let the universe do its magic.
Got it.
Because in truth, divine source, or however anybody chooses to refer to God, has a bigger and knows a bigger purpose and dream and reality for us that we can ever even imagine for ourselves.
Right.
And we don't know what that is. So we have to let, you know, that 10%, 20%, let that be what it needs to be instead of us trying to control the exact situation. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, if I may, AJ, a really funny and lovely story around my book and getting it published.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, who's going to publish this? Who's going to be the right person? Like, I was just so distraught over trying to figure that out and trying to make the outcome exactly the way I wanted it to be. And then one day I was in meditation and I just said, you know what, universe, you reveal to me what I need to know. And then I get this download and I really feel this urge to go and look at my bookshelves. And I'm thinking, what is that? Why do I'm always passing by my bookshelf. What am I going to look for there? And then I started to look at my bookshelf and I started to see that there were a lot of books from New World Library, the publisher. Mm-hmm. And I love New World Library. I've loved all their books for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And that was the clue. The book that who was the publisher that was going to publish this book was New World Library.
Right.
Right. But I had to get out of my own way because I was thinking of so many things. I was doing all this research on the internet, trying to get a hold of all these people who would it be good here? Would it be good there? And then I just, one day I just finally thought, oh, I'm so fed up with myself. I'm fed up with myself. Universe, you take over. And that's exactly what happened. And it was, once that introduction was made, it was so quick. I think it might have been 2 weeks from start to finish. And then the book, yeah. So that's just a little example to share with your listeners that really we have to trust the universe and we have to trust the timing of everything.
Got it. And speaking about, you know, timing, I want to talk about manifestation for a bit here. Because you speak about it in your book, and as you might agree, that manifestation as a topic is not a new one, right? Many books have dealt with this topic in the past.
No.
But people often have a hard time getting results with the process. So in your experience, what is the missing ingredient or some step that you're probably missing out on in the process of manifesting something?
Well, in the book I talk about, I've studied and many people who have had a lot of wealth and success and really looked at made it my own, a four-step system. I think so. I'll just share with you that the four steps, AJ, and then I'll talk about what could get in the way of people doing this. So the four steps is, number one is get clear and ask the universe for what you want. Two is to visualize receiving what you desire.
Okay.
Number three is releasing the outcome and practicing non-attachment, which is what we just talked about.
Yes.
Surrendering. And number four is taking aligned actions, including preparing to receive what you want and what you've asked for. And I would have to say, there's many kinds of ways where people at each level where people could kind of get stuck on. But what I have to probably for me though, I would have to say getting clear and asking for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the very first thing, by the way, that then ripples into everything else. But why that could get people stuck is this is what usually happens. People will say, oh, I really want this. Okay. And then the universe is, we live in a yes universe. The universe will say yes.
Yeah.
So, and it starts to rearrange itself to start to help you get something like that. Except we usually don't stick around long enough to say, yes, I really want that. Because usually what we do is, oh, I'd really love that. And then 2 seconds later, oh, but that sounds really, you know, over the top. How could that happen? Or that mm-hmm. sounds too good to be true. Or our fears and doubts start to come into play.
Okay.
And then as soon as that happens, the energy won't go towards what we want, right? We're just actually creating more energy of what we don't want.
Yes.
Which is the energy of a little bit of this limbo confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get, and this is why we have to be so clear about exactly what it is that we desire, because when there is so much passion and vision around that, and you're really, yes. really clear, the energy is so much, it's actually can be instantaneous. And it's when I find, though, that as soon as we talk about a really lofty goal or desire, it,
yes.
usually freaks people out right after they've said it, right?
Yeah.
But what can counter that is when people start to build a muscle first with manifesting. And what I mean by that is starts with something small so that you can begin to trust yourself and that you can begin to trust the universe is abundant. And you can begin to trust the process because you will have to make it your own. I mean, even though I suggest all these tools and strategies in the book, I do also say, you know yourself best. You will want to make this your own. And, you know, maybe there's a step missing from that for you to feel that, okay, I feel even more strongly about what it is that I desire. So it's really a personal kind of process, but at the same mm-hmm. time, I'd have to say that our dreams and usually the lofty goals that we have are so precious, and that we need to actually nurture them, because oftentimes we can think about it and it just feels so big that it feels just so difficult to achieve because it feels so big. So we have to kind of break them down in little steps.
Right. Absolutely. And I think just like any other goal in life, it just helps to chunk things down so that you can work on it in pieces as opposed to taking on the whole spiritual project, so to speak.
Yes.
So Marisol, what is that one action step that you'd like to recommend for our listeners today based on what we've shared?
Based on what we've shared, what I've shared is that it starts from gratitude. It starts from being grateful for who you are, where you are right now. The very fact that your soul has even come to listen to this and for it to come into your life. The more you are grateful for things, the more you will have things to be grateful for. Because it's what we focus on grows.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for sharing. To read the entire show notes for today's episode, including the inspirational quote, the book recommendation, and certain pieces of wisdom and information that you might not have been able to capture right away, visit my7chakras.com/255. That's the episode number for today, my7chakras.com/255. Nutrition, time, and money. Action Tribe, nutrition, as we are learning on our show, is so important for optimum health and energy levels. But as an action taker, you also need to keep in mind the amount of money you're spending on it and the time you spend in the kitchen. Now you can get the best of all three with Every Plate. Every Plate is a value meal kit that provides you delicious, filling recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered straight to your door each week. Enjoy amazing chef-designed meals for just $4.99 per serving. So think about it this way. One meal is the same price as a cup of coffee or frappuccino at a coffee shop. And not only are they cheaper, but they're also healthier to take out or delivery. And they're faster. Recipes come together in about 30 minutes, which is definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store. Now, if you'd like to try their meals out, I'm going to make it even more attractive for you. You can get your first week of meals for only $2.50 per serving, which is a no-brainer. For 50% off your first box of Every Plate, go to everyplate.com and enter promo code ACTIONTRIBE. Once again, for 50% off your first box of Every Plate, go to everyplate.com and enter promo code ACTIONTRIBE. What should one say then as each hardship comes? I was practicing for this. I was training for this. This is a superb quote by Epictetus. Action Tribe, the quality of your life is determined by the story that is going on in your mind. In your mind, are you the hero of your journey or are you the victim? Are you in control of the situation or is the situation in control of you? So no matter what you're going through right now, feel a deep sense of knowing that you have it within you to overcome this challenge. Feel the surge of energy go through you and let it bring ideas, experiences, and suggestions that will provide you a way out. And just like Epictetus shared over 2,000 years back, tell yourself, I was practicing for this. I am training for this. And was training for this. Now, Miraflor, talk to us about a challenge or a hardship that you had to face in your life. What was that challenge that you encountered and what steps did you take to overcome it?
Well, a big challenge. In my 20s, I left a challenging marriage and I had a beautiful baby girl from it and I had to build us a life. And that was a really, really difficult time in my life because we were living from paycheck to paycheck. And at that moment, I mean, it could have gone either way, AJ. I could have just given up and thought, oh my goodness, I don't deserve, or what a failure, or what have you. But instead, what I did, it was really a mindset shift. I could almost still remember it, you know, and feel it. It was an energetic shift in that somehow I knew that success is a choice. And I chose to be successful. And I equipped myself with the tools that I needed to do. This is how I started to really, really find and start to use all this core manifesting process and all the things that I'm talking about in the book and learning about money from a financial management aspect, but then also really understanding my relationship with money and how I was in the world. And then I had gone back to graduate school. I basically reinvented my life. And became very successful, you know, later on became an award-winning corporate executive and then gone on to become this global entrepreneur and now an author. But, you know, it was really interesting, AJ. I remember thinking to myself that if I ever am in a position to help other women become empowered with money, I don't know when that will be and I don't know how, but if I was ever in a position to do that, I will do it. And you fast forward, we're like 20 plus years later, and the book finally has come out, and that I'm able to fulfill that wish that I had. Though, you know, because I had to catch up to that journey, right? My life had to catch up to that journey into that wisdom. And even though, you know, I was thinking about that for women, really, money is... For both women and men, money is a tool that we are using every day in our lives. And I've really come to believe that money is part of our spiritual purpose. Because absolutely. If we can use it for the highest good, let it be a force for good. And it will multiply and you can live a really quality life and be a role model in that way. And, and be a difference maker. And so that was a big lesson for me in my life. And I feel just so grateful to be in a situation where I can help others.
So if you were to summarize in just one sentence, what is that one major life lesson that you'd like to share with our listeners?
A major life lesson is that, let me see. Oh my goodness, there's so many. But a major life lesson really is that to believe in yourself. It's that simple. Everything that I have done and achieved in myself is because of the fact that I had to have that belief, and not just a belief, that that conviction, the conviction that I can, and this is part of my purpose, and that with all this, with the wealth and all of the trappings comes responsibility, and to use that for its highest good, and to be, to make a difference and an impact in the world, and to change and transform lives. What else is there?
Got it. Thanks a lot for sharing. You mentioned that your challenge, of course, was that in your mid-20s, you had to leave a bad marriage with a little baby girl. And of course, it was challenging, but you had to make a decision, the decision that success is indeed a choice. And you spent a lot of time and resources to learn what is this thing called money, the financial aspects, the technical aspects, and of course, the energy of money. And that's how you change your life. And deep down, you wanted to make a social impact as well. And although it took 20 years, here you are and you're riding it. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, what seems to us like years, 20 years, might not be 20 years from where we are. Like they say that we are from eternity where there is no time. And even if you, you know, see the movie Interstellar, have you seen the movie? In Interstellar?
No, I haven't.
But in that scene, there's this one scene where they're sort of, they're astronauts, right? And they're going into this one planet. And when they go into that planet, the speed of time is different on the planet compared to the spaceship that is away from the planet. And I think it's due to the presence of a black hole. But anyway, they go to the planet, and when they're back, 27 years or so have passed, even though they were on that planet for just a few hours, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, time is such a funny thing. It's all about perspective and it's all relative. But the fact that you have written this book and now are making an impact is so amazing. Action Tribe, I hope you are enjoying today's session so far. You see, if you are a regular listener of My Seven Chakras, then I'm sure that you are someone who likes to take control of your life. You have a bold vision for your future, and you want to find the tools and techniques that will help you make the most of the bright future that lays ahead of you. But every once in a while, don't forget to take a few steps back to remember that you live in the now and not in the future. Remember to take a few mindful breaths and realize that with the right mindset, even a few minutes can feel like the bliss of eternity. And know that life is not something that will happen in the distant future. Life is happening right now. Because now is all that we have. And just like Dr. Wayne Dyer so eloquently said, when you dance, your purpose is not to get to a certain place on the floor. It is to enjoy each step along the way.
Beautifully said.
And having said that, we are now at the last but very important round for today, the wisdom round. Mary Floor, are you ready?
Sure.
So what is the best advice that someone has ever given you?
Do what you love first, then find a way to serve others with that passion that you have. And you will not only succeed, but help others in the same time.
Got it. So name one personal habit that keeps you going.
My joy for life, my zest for life. I am a major, major optimist.
Got it. So what do you do in the morning? Do you have a morning routine?
I do. So when I wake up, I, you know, do some yoga, some stretches, but I also So right away, I start, I used to write them in my gratitude journal, but now I just say them what I'm grateful for as soon as I open my eyes, as you know, I'm taking a shower and so forth. That is the routine. And then depending on what a busy morning I have, I will make sure that I do some meditation, some quiet breathing, and just feeling grounded and centered. And then I usually start to talk about gratitude, and I usually say, universe, please reveal to me what I need to know, and all kinds of downloads will come to me. And so I start the day like that, and I end the day like that with gratitude as well.
Wonderful. So name one book that you'd like to recommend for our listeners today.
I would love to recommend a book also by New World Library. It's called Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. And have you heard of it, AJ?
Oh, yeah, I have actually interviewed Mark Allen as well twice on the show.
Oh, I love
wonderful
oh
book.
My God, I love Mark Allen. So Creative Visualization is really it's written so simply, and it's written that a 10-year-old can read it. And yet, you know, if it's written simply like that, it's masterful. Right. Simplicity is the height of elegance, as they say. But I love that book because it really also helped me to crystallize a lot of the manifesting creative process. And so that is a really, really good resource and book to read.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing, Action Tribe. I know how much you love our book recommendations. And I know that many of you get these books as soon as you hear them shared on the show. And that's why Audible.com is offering our community, Action Tribe, one free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so that you can check out the service. Now, in case you don't know, this company has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your various devices, including bestsellers like The Chakra System by Anadia Judith, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And guess what? You can also get Creative Visualization for free on Audible. And it's an audiobook, which means you can listen to the book just like you're listening to this podcast, right? So to download your free audiobook today, go to my7chakras.com/freebook. Once again, my7chakras.com/freebook to start downloading your book and start listening. So, Mary Flores, thanks a lot for joining us today. Thanks a lot for sharing your wisdom and sharing your stories. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and tell us how we can find you.
Well, I'm really grateful for this moment. I'm really grateful for the fact that throughout all the billions and billions of people and souls that we are all connected right now, that you and I, AJ, are having this conversation, and that we are touching people right now at this very moment and in future who will find us. And that's just the beauty of the whole connectivity of the world, and that we are all part of this whole process of awakening consciously and doing better and doing good.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful message. Thanks a lot for coming on our show, talking to us about the energy of money and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Yes, yes. And and people can find me if they go to the book website at moneymanifestationandmiracles.com. And there is a free download audio there after you purchase your book. And it's The Power of Practicing Gratitude. And you get that as a free download. And so, and you can also find me on maryflor.co. That's MERIFLOR.CO.
MaryFlor.co. There you go, Action Tribe. Make sure you get the book and also learn more about Mary Flor so that you can change your relationship with money. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to My Seven Chakras. Go to MySevenChakras.com. Download your free gift, get inspired, and take action. Transform your life today.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.